Your online feature will begin in just a moment. First, a reminder that BBN is a listener-supported Christian radio and internet ministry. To support us, click donations at bbnradio.org. That's donations at bbnradio.org.
This is Teen Week on the Bible Broadcasting Network's Conference Pulpit Hour, and we'll hear again from Rand Hummel this evening. He'll be talking about maturiophobia. Rand Hummel has given his life to helping teens since 1978. He is the director of the Wilds of New England. Prior to this position, he served as the program director of the Wilds in North Carolina for 20 years. Rand has authored several Bible helps for adults and teens to help them in their daily Christian walk. When camp is not in session, Rand travels widely across the United States, preaching and encouraging teens and adults alike to fear God by respecting His holiness, hating what He hates, and loving what He loves. Here again is Rand Hummel with maturiophobia.
A phobia is actually like a fear on steroids. Fearful things will face them in life. It's kind of like when you go to camp. If you remember, really, it doesn't matter what camp you go to, whether it's the one of the Wilds or another camp, at nighttime after the service, as you're walking to your cabin, you will notice that there's these little eyes that follow you. We still don't know what they are. They're in the woods and they're watching you. It could be squirrels, rabbits, baby Tyrannosaurus rex. We're really not sure. But something jumps out and scares us. That's a fear. A phobia is a fear that's on the inside that literally paralyzes you, and it keeps you from doing what you know you should do. Now, I did a study. I'm not smart, but I do know how to Google, okay? And I looked at some of the most well-known phobias out there. The top one, most of you know, arachnophobia, that's what? Fear of spiders, okay? Autodysomophobia, that is actually the fear of someone who has a vile odor. Okay. Scolionophobia. Do any of you have scolionophobia? Well, let me tell you what it is. It's the fear of going to school. Anybody have that one? Oh, so I thought. The next two, some girls say are about the same, androphobia, musophobia. One is the fear of men, and the other is the fear of mice. Okay. Catoptrophobia is actually the fear of looking into a mirror. Okay. Some junior high boys should have that. Lacanophobia. I kind of have a little problem with that one. That's the fear of vegetables, okay? Now, personally, I like vegetables. French fries and onion rings are great, okay? But other ones are rough. Emetophobia, this one's kind of gross. Emetophobia, these are true psychological phobias. I didn't make these up. Emetophobia is the fear of throwing up in public. And that's kind of weird. Zemophobia, get this. Zemophobia is the fear of rats. Years ago, we used to have these tent cabins in our camp in North Carolina. And one of our girl counselors, she's a missionary now, I still call her a special name because of this one night. She woke up in the middle of the night and felt something. And when she looked up, there was a skunk sitting on top of her, staring in her face this far away. What do you do when there's a skunk looking at you? Hopefully not much, okay? Ablutophobia, that's the fear of taking a shower. Alectorophobia, that's actually the fear of chickens, okay? Some people fear chickens. Anuptophobia, any of you have anuptophobia? That's the fear of staying single the rest of your life. Arachibutyrophobia, if nothing else, I love to say that. Say it with me. Arachibutyrophobia, try it again. Arachibutyrophobia, that is literally the fear of peanut butter sticking to the roof of your mouth, okay? There's a lot of fears out there, but we're going to look at a different one. We call it martyriophobia. Martyria actually is a Greek word. You kind of find it a couple of places in the Bible, but the way it is translated is this. The fear of witnessing. You know, it's fun to laugh about the fear of chickens and peanut butter and looking in the mirror. But when it comes to the fear of witnessing and sharing with other people what Christ has done for you, whoa. It's real, isn't it? And it's not just a fear, it is a true phobia, because remember, phobias paralyze you to keep you from doing what you know you should do. Does God have an answer for martyriophobia? Oh, yeah. 2 Timothy 1:7-8, God's not given us the spirit or the attitude of phobos, is the Greek word phobia. But instead, he's given us a spirit or attitude of power and of love and of a sound mind. Would you say the other verse together with me reverently? Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Again, I hope you're not ashamed that you're a Christian. How many of you have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? You're trusting Christ and Christ alone, his death on the cross for the payment of your sin. Can I see your hands high? Okay, most of you here. So because we have this good news that literally makes the difference in all of eternity. What do we know about this verse? Well, first of all, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but instead of courage. When I say courage, a verse like this, for I am not, say the next word please, ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. The gospel is a powerful thing. Paul said, in which cause I suffer these things, he's talking about even imprisonment, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. If any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be, say it, ashamed, but let him glorify God on his behalf. What do we mean by that? Your name's Logan. Is it Logan? Is that right? Okay, just suppose Logan. Now, I don't know you, Logan, but good to meet you, okay? Just suppose Logan has a friend, a brand new neighbor's moved down the street, and there's a kid there your same age, and you're thinking, oh, I need to tell him about Jesus and invite him to youth group and to church. So what you do is you set up, hey, next Saturday I'm free in the morning. Let's get together, we'll play some video games, and then we'll get some pizza and hang out. So you get down there, and you're playing the games, and you're cheating a little bit so you don't win, so he's in a good mood, you know? So then when it comes time to sit down and eat, and you're just about ready to tell him about Christ, and you get scared. Ooh, what if when I tell him he'll never speak to me again? What if he goes and tells his other friends, and they're all going to mock me and make fun of me? What if he just gets mad and kicks me out of his house? I better not. I better wait for a better opportunity. Then, Logan, you really don't love him. Because you let fear trump this, okay? Understanding if you suffer as a Christian, he mocks you and makes fun of you, that is a good thing. It's a good thing. You know why? Because when we're mocked for the cause of Christ, you are the closest thing to God that they know. And when people get scared and when people don't understand and they want to make fun and they want to somehow attack God, they're going to look for those of you that represent Christ. It goes with this one. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? The Lord is on my side. I'm not going to be afraid. What are they, literally, what are these people, what are they going to do if you try to witness? You say, Rand, they'll shake their head. Let them shake their head. They'll laugh. Let them laugh. They'll hit me, you'll heal. They'll kill me, you'll go to heaven. Oh, yeah, yeah, you guys, no, you're not. Nobody's going to come out and smack you up in the head just because you tell them about the Lord, okay? You all right? Good, sorry about that. The Lord is on my side. Why are we so afraid? Do you know what they did in the Bible times? Get this. When a person was identified with Christ, I read where some, literally, the Bible tells us they were sawn asunder. Just because a man identified with Jesus Christ, if he refused to turn his back on Christ, they would hollow out a log and put him inside. And usually as entertainment in front of thousands of people, they would take a saw, begin going back and forth. And again, if he refused to turn his back on Christ, they literally would cut him in half. Some were pulled apart. They would literally tie a rope to both hands and both feet. These ropes would be tied to the back of four different horses. Often in the Colosseums, again, in front of thousands of people, if the individual refused to deny Christ, the slaves would bring the whips down across the back of the horses, and they would run their four different directions. The man would be dismembered, killed. I read where one, they caught a man and his family. They chained the man up, and then they abused his wife and two kids right in front of his eyes and murdered him. They took the man's eyes out and made him a slave. And the whole time they were doing this, all he could say to them was, stay faithful to God. Stay faithful to God. And you know what it takes for us today to turn on God and get embarrassed? Watch me. This is all it takes. That's it. Somebody to roll their eyes and shake their head. And boom, we get embarrassed that we're Christians and turn on our God, even though he has done so much for us. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but he's given us courage. But he also gives us compassion and of love. The Bible is very clear when it says, and if some have compassion, it literally means for those who are differing. And when I say for those who are differing, we live in a world where there's kids out there saying, what is the truth? Should I be Muslim, Buddhist, Christian, Catholic? I don't know. And they have so many questions. So for those who are differing, you don't get on their case. You don't attack their belief system. You lovingly encourage them to know the truth. Jesus, when he came out, saw much people. He was moved with compassion toward them because they were sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Logan, if you don't witness to your friend, according to that verse, you don't love him. And you guys are scared to tell your friends about Jesus Christ and invite him to your churches. You love you more than you love them. If you didn't, you would think, I don't care what they say. I don't care if they hate me. I'm going to tell them the truth. Compassion. I want you to do something for me right now. Close your eyes. I want you to think of three people in your life that do not know Christ. It could be a family member. It could be a friend, somebody you work with, someone who lives down the street. Just get their first name and their face in your mind. Three people that do not know Jesus. Three people. Got them in your mind? Okay, look up at me. Do you care? Do you know that nearly half of all high school seniors have used an illegal drug at least once? And almost 90% use alcohol, some on a daily basis. Do you understand that every 31 seconds in America, a teen becomes pregnant, and every 20 minutes, a teen is killed in an accident? Every 80 minutes, one is murdered? Do you know every 78 seconds, a teen in this country attempts suicide? Every 90 minutes, one succeeds? So my question is, do you care? Do you see unbelievers and people living wicked lifestyles? Oh, look how bad they are. Look how wicked they are. Do you ever see them say, oh, I pity them. They don't know the truth. They don't know that Jesus died for them. They don't know they can be forgiven. They don't know. Because nobody cared enough to tell them. Wow. There's a girl in Time magazine that none of you would remember but the back would. Her name was Squeaky Fromm. Squeaky Fromm was identified and worked kind of closely with a mass murderer named Charles Manson. She's in prison most of her life. And when she was interviewed, here was her story. She said, when I was 15, I ran away from home. I found myself sitting on a corner in Whittier, California. And a man came up to me and put his hand on my head and said, if you will follow me, I will take care of you. She said, so I did. And today, after years and years of prison, she said, I would still die for him. But then she said this, I decided that whoever loved me first could have my life. Wow. That could have been a kid two blocks down that you knock on the door and say, hey, what are you doing? You want to come hang out with some of us? I know you're new in town. As somebody at school that's kind of the loner that nobody likes, that nobody reaches out to, do you care? God has not given a spirit of fear, but of power, courage, of love, compassion, and of confidence, a sound mind. The Bible tells us, he that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye might believe in the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Sometimes we don't share Christ because we lack confidence, okay? I remember my daughter went to a public high school, and one of her friends came up to her and said, "Hey, Anna, did you know that Mary ascended up into heaven just like Jesus?" Now, how are you supposed to answer somebody that says something like that to you? "You idiot. No, she didn't. No, you don't do that." She very wisely says, "Really? I don't remember reading that in the Bible. Where is it?" And he goes, "I don't know, but I'll tell you tomorrow." He comes back to school kind of blurry-eyed. He was up real late, okay? He says, "And I couldn't find it. It's not in there, is it?" She goes, "No." "What else is not in the Bible that my church is teaching me?" And he started visiting church with us. When a kid asks you a question and you don't know the answer, do you know that's one of the best things and one of the greatest things when it comes to witnessing? Because if somebody comes up to you and asks you a question, you go, "Wow, man, that is a good question. I never thought of that. Hey, would you give me 3 days? I'm going to study it. We're going to have lunch together next Tuesday, and I'll share it with you." Man, now you've got an instant opportunity to meet with them and tell them about the Lord. Or somebody asks you a question, you said, "I don't know." That's a good one. Tell you what, Saturday, on me, we'll go to McDonald's. I got a friend I'll bring with me. Just happens to be your pastor, youth pastor, their wife. You bring them with them because they know everything, okay? So don't be afraid if somebody asks you something you don't know. Just say, "Oh, good question. I don't know, but let me find out." Just a few minutes ago, I asked you to think of three individuals that don't know Christ, and some of you went, "Wow." And you couldn't come up with three people. One of the reasons is we normally, early in the morning, wake up in our Christian bed and reach over and smack the Christian snooze alarm, and then we go out of Christian bed and we brush our Christian teeth, and then we go and have a little Christian breakfast and get in our Christian soccer mom van and go to our Christian homeschool or Christian school, and we do a little Christian school work and come home and eat a little Christian supper and do a little Christian homework and watch a little Christian TV and do a little Christian Instagram and crawl back into our Christian bed and do it all over again. We don't know anybody that's not a Christian. We waste our teenage life hanging out with people that are just like us because we feel more comfortable that way. Instead of a couple of you inviting some others. You know, it was cool that a couple years ago, some girls, I preached a message on true love and how to find that one that God wants you to have. It's kind of a fun message. And a bunch of girls, and they had a little pack. They said, "Let's have a sleepover. But no videos, no YouTube, and we're going to play this message, just the audio, not even the video." And each one of us, five girls, invited five unsaved girls. Three of the girls came to camp, and one of them got saved. Just having a sleepover, inviting unsaved friends, and laughing, and letting them see that there's more to life than just boys and phones. Too far apart, too many voices. Honestly, for kids today, I feel for them, because who do you believe? What do you believe? They hear about this stuff about Christianity, but some of the Christian kids they know are more wicked than the kids that are not Christians. And sometimes there's all these other religions, and which one is right, and how do you know that the Bible is the only way? And because we spend so much time playing and entertaining ourselves that we don't really apologetically know how to defend what we believe, which just simply means we have to just take some time to talk to our pastors. They're all willing to help. But you go to him and say, "Hey, can we get together? Tell me how I can answer a kid that asks this question." Or too little time. I only gave you about 45 seconds. We're busy. Too busy for God. You all know that your phones and your friends get a ton more time than God does. And we're just too busy to share these truths with others. I want you to understand that relationships matter the most to teens. You know that. Why is it when you put out something on your Instagram, you just got to keep looking to see how many likes, and some of you are freaked out because you only have 842 friends on Facebook, and you want 912 because so-and-so has 910, and relationships are huge. Nobody wants to be rejected. Nobody wants to feel unloved. Relationships matter so much to teens. Do you know that's the way God made us? I mean, here's Adam. He's going through the Garden of Eden. And he saw Mr. and Mrs. Monkey and all the little monks and Mr. and Mrs. Hippopotamus and all the little hippies, you know, and he saw Mr. and Mrs. Skunk and all the little stinkers and everybody had their mate and he was all alone. God put him to sleep. When he woke up, there stood Eve. What'd he say? Whoa, man. That's where you get our word woman from, okay, from whoa, man. Anyway, he saw Eve. That's not true, by the way, okay? Some people go, oh, really? I didn't know that. That's not true. Relationships are huge. You guys, you girls, you love to be around your friends. But did you know that the most important relationship in all the world is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? He will never turn his back on you. He will never leave you. He will never stop loving you. He will never stop forgiving you. And he wants to be your close friend, just like he wants to be the friend of your friends. It's a relationship we're supposed to have. For by him, Jesus, were all things created that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible and invisible. All things were created by him. Say the last three words with me. Ready? And for him. Do you know why you were created and you were created and you were created and you? Because God wants to spend an eternity with you guys. Yeah. And that goes for every single one of us. We're created for our wonderful Lord. But this problem is it's a relationship many don't have. God is a holy God. We are sinful beings. Our sins have separated between us and our God. Christ also hath once suffered for sins. The just, that's Jesus. For the unjust, that's us. I love this, that he might bring us to God. Even before we were born, he set this plan in place that Jesus would die for you and for me. Isn't that cool? They can literally bring us to have a close relationship with God. Now, it's a relationship we must choose. The Bible says, repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is big. I want you to go back to those three friends. Got them in your mind? Got each one? When you share the gospel with them, when you tell them what Jesus has done for you, and just share with them what Jesus has done for you, okay? When you do that, I want you to understand, the goal is not to trick them or manipulate them into making any kind of a decision. Your ministry is to love them enough to tell them the truth. I love the way 2 Timothy says, peradventure God will give repentance of the heart that they may choose. All we do is we serve them. We love them by telling them the truth. But when you do, some are going to reject them. I have a brother-in-law that hates God. He's an atheist. He actually is my sister. His wife talked him into coming to the wilds in North Carolina one time, and he loves to hike. I thought, I'm going to take you to the Fourth Falls. If you've ever been there, nobody runs away from you from the Fourth Falls. We got down in there. We were already probably, I don't know, maybe 40. And I remember sitting on that big rock and said, hey, Mike, I've given my life encouraging teens I don't even know to love God and know God. It would be foolish if I didn't share my heart with you. If you will let me share my heart with you, I promise I will never, ever talk to you again about the Lord unless you ask me. He says, go for it. For over an hour and a half, I did. I poured my heart out. I fought back the tears. I warned him, I shared the goodness of God, the consequences of sin. And when I got done, you know what he said? He said, I appreciate your concern, but I don't want anything to do with your God. Last time I saw him, I gave him a big hug. He said, Mike, I'm praying for you. And he goes, you can spend your free time any way you want. He's a very intelligent man. He knows the truth. But he chose to reject my Lord. Some ignore them. Hey, that's for you. Fine. Different strokes for different folks. So some of your friends will just kind of brush it off. Some will literally postpone him. Some will even say, I'll get saved when I want to. I want to have fun first. I want to wait until I'm old. Now, teens, look at me. I'm not trying to confuse you and whatever, but I do know this. We don't have God on a string that we jerk it and he follows. You don't get saved just any time you want to. A man gets saved when the Spirit of God draws him, convicts his heart, and then that man chooses to love or to reject God. In fact, our Bible says that God's Spirit will not always strive with man. And there are times when God will plead and plead, and the man says, no, 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 no! You know what God says sometimes? He says, okay. It's all over Romans 1. The ultimate of God's wrath is not chastisement or correction. It's when God gets quiet and stops convicting. I personally have only met one man in my life that I believed had stepped over that line, because basically we would never know. Literally, it was a Catholic priest. I was flying, I was young, I was probably 35 or something. I was flying somewhere to speak, and I looked, and there was a Catholic priest sitting all by himself, and I sat, walked over, plopped down, and go, sir, this guy is probably, I don't know, 70-ish, you know, and I said, are you a priest? He goes, yeah. Oh, I've always wanted to ask a priest this, which I always have, okay? What do I need to do to go to heaven? And he looked at me and says, you look like a fine young man. Just do the best you can and you'll be okay. I said, wasn't there something in the Bible about being a sinner and getting forgiveness? He goes, who are you? You know, and so I shared who I was and what I did. We had a great conversation. We ended up flying to Charlotte, North Carolina, had a two-hour layover together. And I pled with him to trust Christ. And he kept saying, I can't, I can't. And I said, yes, you can. And finally he stopped me. He says, Rand, I can't, and I will tell you why. When I was just a little bit older than you, he said, when I was about 40, I was a priest, head of my church and parish, and I was under such conviction. I knew that this couldn't be right. I really knew I should go to the Bible, but I didn't want to give up my comfortable life and my friends, and I told God no. And I kept telling him no till he stopped convicting me. And I will spend eternity in hell. My heart broke for him. But you might even be here right now thinking, ah, I'll deal with this anytime I want. It doesn't work like that. When the Spirit of God draws you and convicts you, and you know you're a sinner needing forgiveness and salvation, you better listen. Do you know this one, agree with him, is the one that probably scares me more than anything? And I'll tell you why. My whole life is teenagers, okay? It is. And honestly, I get scared when I get in front of a bunch of just adults. I just have to remind myself that they're nothing more than teenagers with wrinkles and that I'm okay, all right? My life is teenagers, and I meet a lot of teens. I say, hey, are you a Christian? You say, oh, yeah, yeah, yep, I'm saved. And then I start asking questions about life. No hunger for the Word of God at all. Can be involved in all kinds of porn and sin and filthy games and rotten entertainment. No conviction. No hunger for the Word of God to study it, and no desire to see other people saved, and no real desire to change. At least if the Holy Spirit of God lives inside you, you at least would be uncomfortable when you get around wicked things. And honestly, I'm not a preacher that ever tries to scare anyone into or out of salvation. But I have to be concerned if I meet somebody that have no conviction when they sin, no hunger for the Word of God, no desire to do right, no love for God. It's almost like they just signed up to get a freebie ticket out of hell. And they carry it in their pocket and think that's it. There's changes that take place when a person trusts Christ and the Spirit of God lives within. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. We used to sing a song. I don't know if they sing it anymore. The things I used to do, don't do them anymore. The girls I used to date, don't date them anymore. The hair I used to wear is lying over there. You know, and all these different kinds of verses, okay? There's been a great change. And seriously, one of the greatest things that encourages your heart is when you know that you're saved, the Spirit of God lives within. When I counsel guys that are just broken over their sin, I say, oh, this is great. It's good that you hate your sin this much. And I fear for some who agree with God, oh yeah, Jesus Christmas. He was born, Easter, he died. Yep, we know that. They go through church, and then when you leave home, you leave God and don't even think about it. That scares me. It does. But there is one more. That's commit to him. How many have been to the Wilds in North Carolina? Let me see your hands again. You've been to the Wilds in North Carolina. Okay. All right. Girl right here in red. Would you stand up, please? You stand up right here. Okay. Let's see. Sir in the back, right in the corner. Yeah, would you stand up, please? Yeah, okay. Okay, you see these two? At the Wilds in North Carolina, we have this thing called a blob, okay? And it's in the lake. And what we do is we put somebody on one end, and then we have somebody. Now, if he jumped off the tower and landed on that air mattress and she would be on the other end, we can't do this because we don't have access to the space shuttle, okay? I don't know how we get you back down. You can sit down. But if he did do that, by the time she would go so high and start flipping around, when she hits the water, whoa, she'll forget everything she knows about swimming. So just suppose I'm there, and I'm lifeguarding, and she hits the water. I'm thinking, whoa, where did she come from, you know? And she goes down once, comes up spitting a spider, and goes down a second time. I think, oh, stink, this girl is going to die, and I'm going to have to get all wet now. And so I jump in, and I go to save her because it's her third time down. What if she would look at me and say, wait, are you certified lifeguard? In this case, which carry would you probably use to get me? I don't think so. Ah! She'd throw her arms around me. Hold on. Why? Because she totally would commit to the only one that could save her from drowning. And when you trust Christ, gang, it is you totally commit to him. And you love clinging to him and drawing near to him and staying close to him. Yeah. How many of you can read? Can I see your hands high if you know how to read? Sweet! If you can read, you can share Christ. There's a lot of different great tracks out there. Well, one of them I want to show to you right here, okay? It's called The Bridge, and you can talk to your pastors how to get it. I like the theology. It starts with God's purpose. If God's purpose is for mankind to honor, serve, and fellowship with him, then what happened that destroyed this perfect relationship? Well, what happened was a thing called sin. And sin does. It separates us from God. The middle letter sin is I. Your sin, your iniquity is separated between you and your God. Sin is thousands of I'll be God decisions in every situation in life. Sin has a penalty. The wages of sin is what? Okay, death in a way is separation, at least for a time. When I say death, you say separation. Death? Separation. Death? Separation. Okay, if death is separation, then eternal death is eternal from. It's not like you get there and say, ooh, I'm sorry, God. Okay, now I know what my pastors tried to tell me. Now I know what my friends were talking about. Ooh, let me try to make it right now, okay? It's not the way it works, gang. Sin has a consequence. It's talking about eternal death, eternal separation from God. If we die with that sin wall still there, we will spend forever without God. It's what the Bible calls hell. But that's not what God wants. So a lot of people say, okay, I'll just be really, really good. And maybe my good works will outweigh my bad works. How many times do you have to lie to be a liar? How many times do you have to sin to be a sinner? There's no outweighing, okay? Or even those who think just because you go to church or join a religion, no. Or you give a lot of money or you try to be really, really good. None, all of these things fall short. They don't make it to the glorious perfection of God. Only Christ's payment is the only thing. There's only two religions in the entire world. One is called do, and the other is called done. Every false religion, you have to do something to earn God's favor. Bible Christianity, it's done in Christ. We are wicked sinners. There's nothing we can do. Jesus paid it all. And the promises of eternal life, no condemnation, passed from death into life. Wow. So I'm sitting on the ground in a little town outside of the camp in North Carolina, watching a ball game. A teenager sitting next to me, a guy, he's about 15, unchurched, lives with an aunt and uncle, tough home. We get talking, and the door opened up. I could share Christ with him. And he's going, whoa, this is great. I never heard this. So after we're done talking, I said, hey, would you like to pray and accept Christ as your Savior? He says, well, I don't know how. I said, just talk to God like you're talking to me. He said, okay. So we're sitting on the ground. He crossed his arms, closed his eyes, put his head up. He said, God, if anybody needs to be saved, I do. And he went ahead and prayed and accepted the Lord. But when he got done, he didn't know what to do. He wasn't raised like you guys. He didn't know you're supposed to say, in Jesus' name, amen, or as we pray in the name of Jesus. So he just sat there, arms crossed, eyes closed. I looked up, he was going like this. Well, thank you, and looked at me. Could you imagine one of those three friends you've been thinking about that don't know Christ? If God gives you the courage and the love, the compassion, the confidence that you have the truth, and you simply share with them what Jesus did for them. Wouldn't it be sweet if they would say, God, thank you for saving me, open their eyes and say, thank you for not being scared to tell me the truth. I want you to understand, teens, when it comes to this thing about martyrophobia, God has not given this spirit of fear. What God gives is power and love and a sound mind. Don't be ashamed that you're a Christian. Let me explain the invitation. I want our invitation to last for 6 months. We're not even going to eat that long, okay? 6 month invitation, yeah. In a minute, I'm going to have you bow your heads and talk to God. And here's what I'm going to ask you. I just want to have you do this, that you could tell God, Lord, sometime in the next 3 months, even if I get my youth pastor with me or one of my good friends, I want to go to one at a time, each of those three friends. And I want to either invite them to church to hear the gospel or invite them to come meet my pastor or youth pastor, or I will read a tract to them or give them a tract, or I will witness to them. I will share the gospel and try all I can to introduce them to Jesus Christ. All I'm asking is in the next 3 months, that's only one a month, that you would share what I just shared with you, what you guys, many of you, already know in your heart with those you love, okay? Let's bow our heads. If you're willing, would you like to make that commitment to your Lord? And ask him for the courage and the compassion and the confidence that in a few months to come, you will share the wonderful gospel truth with each one of those three friends. And with your heads bowed, how many say, Rand, as you close in prayer, pray for me? Because I did make that commitment to the Lord. I told the Lord, he gives me the strength, the courage, the compassion, the confidence that I would love to witness and share the wonderful gospel with those three adults in the back. You're fine to look, because I'd encourage each one of you teens to get with them and pray with you or go with you as you witness them. If this is a burden of your heart, can I see your hands real high? I'm going to pray for you. Lift them up real high. That's great. Wonderful. God bless you. Anybody else? God bless you. Okay, hands down. I got to ask this. I want everybody's eyes closed, okay? You might be here today and say, wow, I don't think I could share salvation with someone because I'm not sure I'm a Christian. And maybe you've never even truly seen the gospel explained in this way. You go, wow, I am a sinner. Jesus died to pay the price for my sin. He was buried and rose again, okay? That's the good news. That's the gospel message. That's how Jesus made a way for us to come to God. It's the only way. The only way. And you would just say, Rand, would you really pray for me? Because I'm confused. I'm concerned for my soul. If I were to die this coming year, I have absolutely no assurance of heart where I'd spend eternity. And you would say, Rand, just pray that God would give me the courage to get with someone real, real soon and get this taken care of. I am not sure that my sins are forgiven, and I'm on my way to heaven. Can I see your hands, please? And I'll pray for you. I'm probably not going to embarrass you, not going to call you out. God bless you there, someone else. Your eyes are closed. Now, if you raise your hand, when you know the Spirit of God is really drawing you, I'm going to pray, and we're going to dismiss here in a second. I really do. I believe this. I believe that when a person is under conviction, knows that they need their sins to be forgiven. I know we have some games and stuff coming, but you don't have to be at every one of those. If you have a pastor, a youth pastor here, otherwise, would you go to them? Just say, hey, can we talk? And they can answer your questions. They're not going to make you join anything or force you into make any kind of prayer, but they want to help you. They do. That's why they're here. That's why they've given their life for gospel ministry. And by the hands, by the way, that went up a few minutes ago, I think maybe I saw about 30 or 40, maybe about half of you. Do you know that's like 120 people that hopefully in the next couple months will hear the gospel from you guys? Do you know how that can impact your youth group and your churches? Wouldn't it be cool if your friends got saved and their moms and dads came to find out what's going on and they got saved? Wow. Father, your gospel is powerful and it's wonderful. There's not one of us in this room that deserve to have our sins forgiven. But thank you. Thank you for saving me. I didn't deserve it. I don't deserve it. But thank you. Father, many of these teens raise their hands that they have friends that need to hear about you. I know it's scary. But I pray that you give them the courage and the compassion of heart. Give them the confidence that what they know about you is true. And help them in the next couple weeks to witness to these friends and not be afraid to share with them what you have done. I pray for those who are struggling in their own hearts and aren't sure that you would continue to work and convict and draw them to yourself. Give them the courage to get with someone and get it taken care of very, very soon. I thank you for the wonderful gospel message, the good news, and your precious word. And may we never, ever, ever get over the fact that you made a way that our sins could be forgiven. We can spend eternity with you. Thank you, Father, for that. As we pray in the name of Jesus, amen.
Martyriaphobia, the fear of witnessing, was our focus this evening on BBN's Conference Pulpit. As we continue with Teen Week on BBN this week, our speaker tonight was Rand Hummel. We trust the message was a real help and blessing to you in your walk with the Lord and in your witnessing to others, especially your lost friends who need to know that there's a Savior who loves them and cares for them. Perhaps tonight you do not know the Lord as your Savior, and if that is the case, perhaps the Holy Spirit of God used the message this evening to speak to your heart. Go to bbnchat.org, bbnchat.org, for help from a biblical advisor.
That concludes this feature. We have many resources for you here at BBN. Click Resources at our website, bbnradio.org.